Songs for the French tonight. And there's this. Coming up later, the Travel Ace himself. Where in the world is Andy Mossack? I have two clues to track him down. One now, one before 11. And he'll be here in about 45 minutes. If this rings any bells, please let me know. We've never failed. The tallest landmark in this city of canals is the Dom Tower, also known as the Dom Church. It's almost 400 feet high. Dates back to 1382, originally part of St. Martin's Cathedral, until a tornado destroyed its connection and left it freestanding. The Dom stands at the spot where this city originated almost 2,000 years ago. Now, what leapt out to me there was canals. I mean, is it that easy? Is the solution that obvious? The Dom Tower and the Dom Church. You ever been? 0800 389 3333. That's on the Dog and Bone where it's free. 81333 RUSS. Canals, the Dom Tower, the Dom Church, 2,000-year-old city. Where in the world is Andy Mossack? Can you help me out? I like that. Roosevelt, Nile Rodgers with Passion here on the BBC. It's about 22:11. Anna's got our headlines a little bit later. Another clue for Andy and more of your songs for the French for the Deaf Laugh tonight. There's been some nice stuff. Also, you help off the first clue. So talking about the Dom Cathedral and all of this. And hi to Dean in Leeds. Good evening, mate. Thank you for your text. Utrecht. Am I saying it right? Probably not. Utrecht in the Netherlands. Okay. I like the sound of this. We might be on right lines because it's somewhere I never thought of. Well, this is good. I'm liking it. Rob in Fosn-on-the-Wolds. How you doing, my friend? I think Andy's in Utrecht in Holland. Interesting. Thank you. You also suggest for songs for the French tonight. So far, the weight of opinion, Paula as well, and Tony and Michael, I think it's Mike. Yes, it is Michael, all suggesting Utrecht for Where in the World is Andy Mossack. He's going to be live in a different country. He's going to be with us about 11:15, but I promised you a second clue. Now, this will either be like cementing your thoughts or making you think twice, I think. Grabbing the passport. So here then is number two. One of this city's most famous residents was Dick Bruner, creator and illustrator of Miffy the Rabbit, a series of colourful children's books sold 85 million copies worldwide. Miffy's such an iconic character here, she has her very own museum. Good Lord. One of the most famous residents, Dick Bruner. It is the home of Miffy the Rabbit. 85 million copies, and Miffy has her own museum. Okay. So are we still good? Are we doubling down on Utrecht? I'm getting the sense that we will be. Because you never really change your mind. Once you've heard the one, you go straight in. 81333 RUSS. 81333 RUSS. Also, the phone is there, 0800 389 3333. Let's just think of good times in foreign climes. Wave the passport at the man and head on through. Thank you for the help tonight. You were terrific. Plenty of clues. Immediately I went wrong, like I was telling you earlier, but you stepped in and said, Russell, it has to be this place. And you know what now? I think you are right. So the sheer weight of opinion has guided us. Let us, without further ado, say good evening, Andy Mossack. Ahoy, hoy.
Hoi hoi, Russ. Good to be back with you, my friend. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm not doing too shabby at all, mate. What's been going on? You had a busy week or two?
I have. It's been all go, actually. Yeah, had a week off with the family, into lovely Bath and the surroundings, and then now I'm in this lovely place where what you know.
as a populace here, we're going for Utrecht.
Yeah, what would you do without them, eh, Russ? What would you do without them?
I'd lose this every week, mate.
Oh, bang on. Well done, yes. Yeah, having a great time here. Really enjoyed it.
Now, you're never nowhere for no reason. So what are you doing over there?
Well, you know, the Netherlands tourist office is always on the, you know, on point, so to speak. And, you know, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, The Hague, they always are sort of number one when people think of the Netherlands, right? And they're just saying, look, have you thought about Utrecht? Because it kind of goes a bit under the radar, but it's actually, you know, it's the fourth largest city in the Netherlands after Amsterdam, Rotterdam and The Hague. So as they said, it's got so much going for it. Please come and have a look. I took them up on their offer, and because literally in June it celebrated its 900th birthday, 2nd of June this year. So
wow,
it was made a city in 1122. So it's certainly worth the celebration or two, I fancy, don't you?
Excellent. So, okay. So now, see, this is the thing. I can sit here and I think everybody knows. I mean, you've been there a couple of times, I think, and certainly when you were live doing it and then looking back at it, there's amazing museums and a million things to do in Amsterdam, say, you know, and so that's sort of, that is very much the trodden path. A city this old, this nice, does it have a similar vibe to Amsterdam, or is it a little bit different?
It's a lot laid back, actually, because it's quieter, and it's got canals, as we said, two big canals, but it's very, very different. Amsterdam's canals actually are, you know, they're quite narrow and quite compact because Amsterdam is actually below sea level, interestingly. You know, all the goods that came in on the boats, they had to be literally pulled up by ropes. And you see in those very tall houses in Amsterdam, you know, they had those big pulleys and things like that.
So they could
pull the stuff up, right? Well, Utrecht is completely different because it's got very wide wharfs and cellars and warehouses all the way along the canals. So it's completely different because it's above sea level. So it's kind of got the canals used to be connected to the Rhine River, so it's really was very, very important trade area for the Netherlands, really, very wealthy because of that. So all these lovely wharves are completely full of restaurants. You know, you go, all the cellars have got restaurants on them.
This raises an interesting point, though, because you do see this you see that in Europe, certainly, you know, really old powerhouses of trade, big warehouses, lots and lots of trade traveled in and out of the city. What that brings with it is culture, and it brings with it different flavors and you know, a vibrancy to it. I mean, is Utrecht along that route as well?
It is, in a sense. It's not like The Hague, which is kind of the European sort of the government and the political center of Europe. This is kind of a little bit different from that, because it had such a rich history of itself, because it had royalty here, it had bishops, the center of bishopdom was Utrecht, and so there's churches, there's all kinds of stuff, and it's kind of so interesting when you look at it. And I actually, you know, what was really interesting is this Dom Tower. It's what's fascinating about this is it was this massive cathedral. And then it was this storm in 1674. It was a tornado, tore into the middle of this cathedral and separated it from the tower. And it laid since 1674. There was just rubble in this square. You had the tower left on its own. And then the other half of the cathedral was the other side of the square. So it laid like this for hundreds of years because nobody had any money to kind of, you know, change it. Until recently. Now there's this beautiful square there, and the Dom Tower is such an iconic symbol of the city. You know, it's, I must tell you about this because it is amazing, because it's so high. It's 400 feet tall.
Wow.
Right. I mean, if you can imagine, it was built in, when was it? It was kind of the Middle Ages when it was built. 700 years old it is. And 400 feet tall, right? 460 steps to get to the top. And they're currently renovating it on the outside of it, right? Now, this is a monumental project they're doing. It started in 2017. It finishes in 2024. But listen to this, right? There's 55 kilometers of hand-built scaffolding. There's 45 kilometers of wooden planking. And it's like 10 months to construct just the you know, the scaffolding itself, and it costs 37 million euros, right? So can you imagine the guys who won that project? It's like,
it's pretty golden age, isn't it, really, for
them? Oh, you know, yeah, I could do a bit of scaffolding, no problem.
I'll tell you something, Fred Dibner could have done that in a week. On his own.
You know, unbelievable, right? Anyway, I went and I walked up. You walk up, they do these guided tours inside the tower. You walk up these 467 steps.
Oh, you did it, did you?
Oh, absolutely, I did it. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, and it's nice because they take you on a tour. You stop kind of two or three times as you're going up to these rooms. And one of them is this belfry, giant bells. You know, I mean, walking into these giant bells is something else, you know, because when you consider how old they are, and they manage to sort of, you know, construct them so they have perfect pitch, and there's like there's something like 10 or 11 bells there, you know, huge things. So anyway, that's great. When you get to the top, amazing panoramic views, fantastic. Well, and then
you should always make sure you don't walk into any of the bells and drop a clanger.
Well, actually, hey, boom, boom.
Oh dear me.
I know, but I could just hear the little brunch on that.
There you go.
That's it. Thank you. But the new thing they just opened, I must tell you, because I love this. I really got excited. They call it the Dom Under. And so they've excavated under the tower. And you go down, I think it's something like 10 or 20 meters. You're going down under the ground, going down 2,000 years to the Roman time.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, they give you this torch gun with a laser scanner on it, and you're going around pointing this scanner at all this like amazing kind of antiquity that they've just discovered underneath the Dom. Unbelievable. So great thing.
Okay,
fantastic.
So that's like that's the focal point of the city, because you can't avoid it. Absolutely. There so now I know it's like you said there, I mean it's absolutely, you can't move for bishops. They're all over it. It's got a lot of museums, and I imagine a really, really nice cuisine scene. So give me a couple of museums we have to see, and the kind of food that we can expect when we rock up in Utrecht.
Okay, well, there's the Central Museum, which is set in a former medieval convent, which is really lovely. It's fantastic history of the city. And inside that is actually the studio of Dick Bruner. You know, it's the original studio there of Miffy. So that's a pretty cool place to go. Anyone who's really into railways and trains, the Railway Museum here is set by the former station. You've got these huge locomotives that you can clamber all over. So, you know, that's a pretty cool thing for anyone into trains. Brilliant. And bikes, you've got to do a bike ride. I did a bike ride all today, all around the city, because there's fantastic, you know, bike routes everywhere. So that's a good thing to do. Really cheap to just hire a bike for a whole day. And then the grub, you know, just down the road is a Gouda, the town. So,
oh yeah.
So I've just got myself a huge slab of Gouda, which I shall be taking home and sticking on some toast tomorrow night. Beautiful, that is. And I'm absolutely obsessed. Whenever I come to the Netherlands, bitterballen is something you have to have. It's the ultimate snack food. Deep-fried meat and potato breaded balls. Beautiful. They're like croquettes, and they serve it in pubs with a whole load of mustard and mayo. Absolutely brilliant. It's got to be done.
Nourishing, delicious balls.
Yes, as they say. Excellent. But and one more thing they have, which you know, I'm afraid it's not my cup of tea, but it's got to be done, is called Stroopwafel.
Oh, and, yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Two waffles held together by Dutch syrup.
Oh. I'm there.
Good luck to you.
Give me a couple of balls and a Stroopwafel, and I'm anybody's on that. That's terrific. Lovely stuff. Yeah. Do you know, I mean, it's a hip modern European city, and the only thing I'd really known about Utrecht is that it had, I think pre-COVID, it's safe to say now, but it had like its fair share of like music festivals and events and things. It would always have, you know, I know that mates of mine who were really into trance music would go to Utrecht, or goths, and you think to yourself, that's a pairing that you really want, you know?
Well, that's a new one. I didn't see many of those walking around, have I got to say.
Well, there it is. I seem to recall like the goth festival was actually right in the middle of summertime, which if you ask me seems rather cruel.
Oh god, yeah, I'd say so. Well, I tell you what they did have last week. They had the Vuelta, which was the Spanish equivalent of the Tour de France. They had two stages of that literally last Saturday. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's a sporting occasion. And to get here, I came on the train all the way. Came from Eurostar. It's a bit different from Leeds, but from London, direct to Rotterdam on the Eurostar. It's so easy.
There you go.
I've got to say, so that was good. Yeah,
good stuff, my friend. So you're back home tomorrow with your Gouda.
I am. Yes, I am, and even got a bottle of Advocar as well. Do you remember Advocar?
I do. Yeah, a little bit of the '70s, bringing it back in style. I know. I like it. That's pretty awesome, man. Listen, you take care of yourself, and
thanks,
I presume,
mate.
We'll be having a chat in a few weeks.
Yeah, you enjoy your holiday.
We'll do our level best, my friend. You take care.
See ya.
Off he goes. Utrecht. Yeah, look it up, the Goth Festival. The Summer Goth Festival. It just seems a little cruel to me. Andy Mossack will be back in a few weeks' time. BBC.